2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for us to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that say not yet ye should be ashamed in this thing confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Rough you had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall weep also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have an all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your need, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution among them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. Is that verse 15 we want to consider tonight? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's seek the Lord afresh in prayer. Our loving Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the gift of thy dear Son. And Lord, even as we would approach this Christmas period, Lord, help us to be mindful of the reason for the season. It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of the time, but Lord, help us to focus on what is important. We do thank you for the precious gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour from sin. And Lord, we pray even now as we come to consider this verse of Scripture, that thou be pleased to write thy word upon our hearts, that thou would take away all distracting thoughts, that thou would help us to focus on Christ and on Christ alone. We pray, O God, thou will touch these lips of clay with the live coals from off the altar, and thou will be pleased to use them for thine honour and for thy glory alone. Give help now, Lord, to this preacher. Give this listening ear to the congregation. Be pleased, Lord, to speak to hearts. We ask and pray in Christ's precious name. Amen. We live in a fallen and a broken world, a world that brings heartache and brings despair, a world that brings sickness, a world that's filled with moral corruption and wickedness, a world where man is motivated by power and greed to the expense of his fellow man. Many will spend this Christmas on the streets or maybe in shelters or in homes for the abused. Many children will not receive a Christmas present or even enjoy a turkey dinner. They'll not be looking forward to this Christmas time at all. The prospects of our culture and society when looking upon the world tonight are very, very grim. We're awash in drugs and alcohol and violence. Our society is filled with materialism and immorality and wickedness. People everywhere are speaking about their rights to live as they please and do as they want. And sometimes we become despondent. We say, what future have we? What hope is there? What message can we bring? But by belief tonight, this text has the answer for us all tonight. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You see, we do have a message. We do have a message of good news in the midst of great despair and hopelessness. It's a message of the glorious gospel of our blessed Emmanuel. And it's him I want to focus on tonight as we consider the greatest gift ever given. And what a gift, he is. What generosity in the heart of God to give his only begotten Son. And that's really where Paul climaxes at the end of these chapters in 2 Corinthians, where he's been speaking about giving to the cause of Christ, about the generosity of the Corinthians. He's speaking about Christian stewardship and how we should give generously to the work and cause of Christ. In verses 7 and 8, he says that every man should do it from his heart. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you when you abound in every good work and given charitably and freely and joyfully to the Lord's work. It's a wonderful thing to give. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But as Paul always does, while he's talking about things on a human level, his mind is always racing towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And here again at the end of this chapter, he brings it up to Christ in this closing verse. He's expounding this wonderful generosity. Then suddenly his heart swells and it's like he can't stop his pen. And so he says, "But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." So this season of giving and receiving, let us consider the greatest gift ever given. Notice firstly, the giver of this gift. The giver of this gift. This is a divine gift, a holy gift, a gift that comes from God the Father. And let that sink into your heart just for a moment. Jesus Christ is the gift of God to hell-deserving sinners. That's the theme of the gospel. This glorious gift, this all-sufficient gift, this gift that makes Paul say, "Christ loved me and gave himself for me." The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the gift the Father has given to all who will receive it by faith. This is the season of the year, especially when people think about gifts and people go out and get gifts, and sometimes, you know, we're hurried into it, we're bullied into it maybe by our spouses or our children, and sometimes we don't give out of a right motive. We often give out of that sense of duty. Someone else buys you a gift, well, I have to buy them something back. It's out of duty. But Jesus Christ is a genuine gift of God. There are no strings attached here. There's no fine print attached to his coming. He's a genuine gift and he's freely offered. He's offered freely to people like you and I who would have no natural claim to him, and is given without anything being received in return. It's a one-sided, unconditional gift from God. You see, if something is valueless like a stone in the gutter, it's not considered suitable for a gift. Or sometimes a gift is offered reluctantly. But this gift is different. This gift is different. This gift is not like the tax return that you send to the Inland Revenue. Well, you give to the government, you say, well, it's not really a gift because if I don't pay it, I'll end up in prison. You do it out of a sense of duty, or sometimes you give to people because they deserve it. Maybe you are an employer here, and at the end of the week, you give your employees a check. They've earned it. They have an hourly wage and you pay them. They don't get the check and they don't say to you, "Oh, what a gift. Thank you for this gift." But rather they are grateful for the job and they say, "We've earned this money." This check is not a gift. But this is different with the gift of God. See, the point that Paul is making here, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It's because it's a gift and it's a true gift. It's a genuine gift. It's an eternal gift. It's a gift that will never be taken back. Paul says God has given us this amazing gift, a gift of immense value, a gift that is uttered in all its fullness in the Word of God, a gift that is offered freely, a gift that comes without any obligation on God's part. And it's a gift that we have no claims to. We have no merits to deserve this gift. We haven't earned it in any way. In fact, if we got what we deserved, if we got what we earned, we would never have been offered this gift. But you see, God is merciful and he freely offers this amazing grace to us. God never offered this gift so that one day that he'd receive something back in return. It's not a loan, it's not a low interest gift. It's utterly free. There are no hidden obligations with it. And God's hands are outstretched tonight as he offers this gift. He says, "Here is my Son. I give him to you freely, sinner. Come receive this gift." It's a divine gift. So God, being under no obligation to provide a Saviour at all, provides a gift, provides an unspeakable gift for fallen man. And he sets his love on countless millions like the sands of the seashore, and he determines to save them and to give them this glorious gift of his dear Son. So tonight you can stammer back, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What a gift. God is the giver of this gift. But notice secondly the description of this gift. Paul says here, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Paul says it's an unspeakable gift. It's indescribable. The original Greek word here is anekdotes, and it means it cannot be expounded in full. It's beyond human language. There's nothing we have in our vocabulary tonight that we can use to describe this. It's indescribable. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know, at very best, this gift, it's like, you know what it's like when you go on your holidays and you go to the beach and you dip your feet in the ocean. And that's what this gift is like in a sense. You dip your feet in the ocean, but the ocean is so vast, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. And that's what it's like when we come here to describe this unspeakable gift. We're limited in what we can say about it. It's beyond our apprehension. There's so much more. It's beyond description tonight, beyond our grasp. There's so much more to know, so much more to swim in, so to speak, so much more to discover. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I want you to notice some things which make the gift of Christ an unspeakable or undescribable gift. Notice it's unspeakable because in terms of its price, its price. Who could measure such a gift as this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God could give us many things if he chose. He could give us wealth. He could give us material things. He could give us health so we would live for 100 years and beyond. He could give us all the wisdom of Solomon, enable us to speak that the people of the world would flock to hear us. But as Solomon himself said, the kind of wisdom he received brought with it much sorrow. The kind of wealth that he had could exalt him in this world, but could do nothing to redeem his soul for the next. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, if our souls would be redeemed, we need something more valuable than silver or gold. Silver and gold is corruptible, and our redemption requires something which is incorruptible. And therefore God gave his only Son, his only begotten Son, a gift that was unique, a gift that is unique. The value of a gift is often determined by how rare it is. And notice the emphasis in John 3 and 16 that God gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. There was only one. Only one. You know, it's not so hard, I suppose, to part with a gift if you've more than one of it. But Christ was one and only. One and only, his only begotten Son. And the Lord God the Father gave his only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in him would be saved. So God gave his Son, and Christ gave his lifeblood. You see, the value and virtue of the life is in his blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, we read in Leviticus 17 and 11. And in contrast to gold and silver that perishes, Christ's atoning blood is called precious blood. Read in 1 Peter 1 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the gift of God defies description in terms of its price. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. For without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. It's also unspeakable in terms of its profit. It's possible, you know, to give somebody a gift that might be very expensive, but yet it has very little practical value. It's of no profit or benefit to them. And I don't suppose the ladies will appreciate what I'm going to say. But jewelry is a bit like that, especially when some of the husbands maybe haven't done their Christmas shopping yet. But how much would you spend on a ring or a bracelet or a necklace? I dare say the sky's the limit. How much money could you spend on any single item of jewellery in the jewellery store? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. The value, of course, comes through the message you're sending to the one you love. And here comes the catch from the jewellery store. How can you put a price on a message of I love you? I love you so much that I'm not going to pay the bills for a year because I bought you this diamond ring. I love you so much that we can't afford to eat for the next 6 months. And such a venture might seem very romantic, though not very practical. But when God gave us this unspeakable gift of Christ, we gained things that were of tremendous practical value. You see, we gained righteousness. We cannot enter into heaven without it. Accept your righteousness, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. You shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. The words of Christ. Where could we gain such righteousness? We're told that all our righteousnesses, all our good works are as filthy rags in the sight of a holy and righteous God. We're all sinners by nature. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. You may say, oh, not me, preacher. That doesn't describe me. I'm in the house of God tonight. I'm good living. I do my best and all the rest. I'm a righteous person. Well, your self-righteousness is a sure road to hell tonight, for that is where you will end up. You see, but Christ stepped in. His righteousness is available to you this very night. If you trust in Christ, you can say, as the psalmist said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of his righteousness. Oh, what profit there is with this gift. We gain righteousness through the gift of Christ. We also gain life where previously we only had death. We were dead in trespasses and sins, Paul tells us in Ephesians 2. We knew spiritual death and we were facing physical death without any hope. We were doomed to everlasting death and destruction on account of our sins. And then God gave us the gift of eternal life through his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God also, through Christ and on account of Christ, give us faith to believe the gospel. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, what good would the gifts of life and righteousness be to us if we had no capacity to receive them? And when God purchased us to himself by the blood of his Son, he also purchased for us the faith that we needed to appropriate the gifts he would give to us. Hence, he gave us the Holy Spirit to open our blinded eyes, to unstop our deaf ears, to subdue our rebellious hearts and enable us to receive Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. God's gift then is unspeakable in terms of the profit that gift bestows upon us. We enjoy the benefit of everlasting life. We enjoy the benefits of sins forgiven. We enjoy the benefits of a perfect righteousness, and we enjoy the benefit of faith. These things are all conveyed to us through Christ and on account of Christ. It's no wonder that God's gift is called an unspeakable gift. And you know, sinner, in this meeting tonight, you can avail of all these benefits this very night. If you just come and trust in Christ, come repent of your sin and call out to him to save your never dying soul. Furthermore, the gift of God is unspeakable in terms of its permanence. You can give someone a gift that is very expensive and yet not very durable. Have you ever seen those fancy ice sculptures, maybe at a wedding or maybe some event? And as you look on it at first, it looks like a lovely piece of crystal that's been carved out in very precise detail. And it's very impressive. It demonstrates the talent of the artist. But after a few moments, a few hours, it melts away. It's gone. Its permanence then is determined by how strong your memory was to retain what it looked like. Its substance is a puddle of water. But not so with God's unspeakable gift. The gift that is given to the sinner is everlasting life. I give unto them eternal life, Christ says in John 10 and 28. And then he goes on to say what that means. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Here is a durable gift indeed, one that is secure, the one that is guarded by the omnipotence of Christ himself, as well as the omnipotence of his heavenly Father. The same thing can be said of our righteousness, because it is Christ's righteousness imputed to us. It is an everlasting righteousness. And this sets it apart from the righteousness that the Church of Rome or the other false religions speak of. Man is urged by the false teachers to do your very best, try as hard as you can, follow a list of religious practices, and hopefully at the end of it all, you'll be fit for heaven. But the problem of that is, you'll never be sure. You'll never be sure that that gift will never fade away. But not with this gift that God gives. This gift of righteousness lasts forever. It is secured by Christ himself. It is a durable righteousness. It is permanence. And so is the faith that Christ purchased for us. It's a persevering faith. Temporal faith has no power to save or keep us. Faith that is planted by God is different. It endures. It may be a struggle. It may grow weak at times. It may seem undetectable at times. But it can never be completely extinguished. Because faith is a gift of God. God will never change his mind about a gift he has given to us. He'll never take back a gift he has bestowed upon us. And he bestows the gift of eternal life upon you tonight. You're saved for time and for eternity. Christ's work is a finished work. You can be assured your sins are forgiven and you have a home in heaven. What a gift. What a wonderful gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Could I say finally that it's unspeakable in terms of its picture of grace and mercy. And this perhaps more than anything renders God's gift unspeakable. How can we express the value of such a gift when God gave us Christ? At the time we deserved hell, God gave us heaven in Christ. At the time we deserved death, and indeed were dead, God gave us life in Christ. At the time we were sinners against God and possessed no righteousness of our own, God gave us the righteousness of his dear Son. At the time that we stubbornly refused to believe the gospel, at the time we were condemned and worthy of condemnation, God gave us his Spirit to open the eyes of our understanding to our lost condition and show us what we must do. You begin to see why this gift is an unspeakable gift. How the giving of his Son magnifies the grace of God. At the very time we deserved his wrath, he instead gave us his precious Son. At the very time we merited his worst, he gave us his best in the person of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now our text says that this gift of God is unspeakable. We cannot adequately describe it tonight. Words fail us when we come to magnify God's grace and his mercy. Yet this text does give us something to say. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We can stand here and in a sense dumbfounded in the presence of God. We can say that we realize what we have been and what provision God has made for us in Christ Jesus. And the psalmist expresses it wonderfully in Psalm 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? But then the psalmist answers his own question by saying, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. For the believer, this is what we must do. We call upon his name of humble and yet grateful hearts tonight. We acknowledge the benefits we've received from his good and gracious hand. And we offer him our thanks. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. May our hearts be filled with Christ. And may we be enabled during this Christmas season to simply lift up our voices with gratitude and magnify God for what he has done for us in Christ, the greatest gift ever given. Let me finish by asking you tonight, can you say you've received this greatest gift? The gift that was promised to us from the fall. In the fullness of time, Christ was born, manifest in the flesh. My question is, have you opened this gift? Have you appreciated this Saviour? You know, you'll get a gift at Christmas time, and what's the first thing you do? You rip it open. You receive it, and you rip it open, and you look what's inside. Have you received Christ tonight? As this gift is freely offered to you, do you take it and do you cast it aside? Or do you receive it by faith? You see, Christ alone can deliver you from destruction, from sin, from death, from hell. Who gave this gift? God the Father. God the Father, from whom all perfect gifts come. If you despise this gift tonight, you're treating the sender with contempt and he is angry with you. God's word tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day. You see, the greatest sin in this world is to not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to reject Christ. That is the greatest sin in this world. The one who was born in low and humble surroundings, the one who was wrapped in those swaddling clothes and laid in the manger, the one who humbled himself and came in the form of a servant, who did not even have a bed in which to lay his head, the one who had nothing, the one who went to the cross and willingly laid down his life as a ransom for many, came to seek and to save those who lost. He is the pearl of great price tonight, the eternal Son of God. He is alone the living bread from heaven, the living waters for sinners. Maybe tonight you have enjoyed many blessed Christmases. Year after year, you have received many precious gifts, gifts that you hold dear, maybe from family members, something has been passed down from your parents or grandparents, and they are precious gifts to you tonight. You would not part with them for the world. But yet here is the most precious gift ever given, and you refuse to receive it. You cast it back into God's hands and say, I will not have this gift. I will not have this man to rule over me. Yet God offers you this gift freely. You see, we all will die one day. And there's a warning to you tonight. You reject Christ tonight, offered to you freely in the gospel. One day you will stand before him. The scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God the sender will not tolerate your treating the precious gift of his Son with contempt. If you do, on that last day you will know him, but it will not be to your profit. The choice is yours tonight. Kiss the Son lest he be angry, the psalmist wrote. Kiss the Christ child with trembling, the child that is born unto you, the Son that is given, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. I urge you tonight to tremble before him. Humble yourself before him. Bow before him in adoration. Call out to him for mercy. Call for him to save you. And come and receive the greatest gift ever given to man. And make this a wonderful Christmas, a Christmas to remember. A Christmas like none other. The Christmas of your new birth and your adoption into God's heavenly family. May God help you to come this Christmas time. Receive the greatest gift ever given. The gift of eternal life found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was born to die. The one who paid the price for your sins upon Calvary. Come tonight. Trust him. Be cleansed from your sin. Be made right with God. May God write his word upon our hearts. Amen.